Yes, yes. Yo, yo. Hey, hey, hey. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. You guys are listening to the one and only Kalen and Joe Show! Hey, everybody. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You are back here with us in our little earphone headspace sound wave connectivity area.
Also known as the studio.
My name is Joe Carabeo. I'm a filmmaker. I am a writer. I'm a photographer. And sometimes I'm a musician, depending on who you ask. And across from me is the super ultra powerful, enchanted, most beautiful conqueror of all things, Carolyn Bilewski. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going good.
I have good
good vibes.
Good vibes. I've been on a Beastie Boys kick all of a sudden. I don't know why.
Good vibrations. Good vibes.
Good vibes. Kicking it. I don't know why. Just recently I've been really like, I don't know. This seems to be like the past 3 days have been like this Beastie Boy thing that I've just run into. So, of course, I've had to. So you're going to be hearing some of that.
You know what I was really into today?
I was really sad, though. It made me really sad, but I'm happy.
SR-71.
SR-71 is the day?
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's some good stuff.
But see, it's the thing. Like, when just, you know, we'll get this over with before the Carolyn's news. But I was listening to Beastie Boys. I was listening to a concert while I was working on them, on an edit and stuff like that. And I come to remember, oh, man, Adam is not there anymore. There is no more full functioning Beastie Boys. They'll never be like this. And
but
it made me really sad.
The thing is that they have like left gift for you. You know? Like everything that they ever made, they can live on forever.
I mean, that's true. I mean, they're not all dead, but like just
but still
the fact of like, you know, it's like when a key member of a band is gone, it's not going to be the same anymore, but I don't know what it is anymore, but I was really enjoying.
Are the other two surviving members like
surviving members?
Yeah, are they like making music or what's?
I mean,
like
they always
the
have their own, they always have their own projects, but there's never gonna be Beastie Boys like the group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that part, but now it's just like listening to them. I was like, man, this stuff is freaking awesome. You know, you give it what it is. They're very super revolutionary in the time and everything from fashion to music to anything like that. And just to think like what they brought, you know, what they brought to the table and how they changed the whole entire game. It made me sad, but at the same time, I was really happy that, like, they existed in that format.
But that's the cool thing about, like, being artists, I think, is that you can live on forever.
Yeah.
Because people can always see what you made.
Yep.
Or, you know, like, I think that that's always great, and that's always what I'm striving to do, because, like, I'm afraid of dying, so, like, I better make every project and every moment, like, worth it.
Yeah. Carolyn's news time!
Yeah, I hear my music. Okay, guys, I got some news. I got a lot of tour dates because we have booked some shows.
This is good for me to know, so I should know if I'm booked for them or
so
not.
Just so you know, like, keep note. March 8th, Joe and I will both be at the Stone Branch School of Art. This is a Sunday from 2 to 4, so only for 2 hours. And apparently this is a public event, and children can be there. So it sounds pretty awesome. I have never been to the Stone Branch School, and it's in Maryland. But, I've seen, like, their website and stuff, and I was like, wow, this is a whole school for art. And like, mostly kids.
Yeah, a whole school for art.
You know what I mean? Like, but for, like, young kids, you know? Like, a whole school for art. It sounds awesome. Because I don't think I took art classes, but I never went to, like, a whole, like, school of art.
Like an academy type?
Yeah, I'm not really quite sure how they have it structured, but yeah, we're going to be doing, like, a two-hour seminar there and engaging the minds of the young. I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I always enjoy the opportunity. I mean, there's many opportunities for me to mess up and many opportunities for me to spread the propaganda that is the creative process of what we do.
Yeah, March 8th. It's a Sunday, so I bet a lot of people can come on out for that.
Is that a thing where people can come out to?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The public is invited.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just going to be for the kids.
No, it's for everyone.
Oh, now that adds a lot more pressure.
Yeah. And also on March 14th, we're going to be at Smudge at Artisphere from noon to 6. And then also in March...
When was that? March what?
That is March 14th. That's 14th. Saturday. We're going to be at Smudge in Artisphere. And then March 28th, we're going to be at PIX, the Pittsburgh Indie Comics Expo.
March what?
March 28th.
March 28th.
Yeah, so we're going to be all over the place. And then we don't have another tour date until May, but I will mention it. It's Awesome Con. May 29th, 30th, and 31st, a three-day show. And speaking of Awesome Con, just the other day, Mr. Joe over here had a commercial that aired during The Walking Dead.
That's right.
And it was the world premiere of the Awesome Con commercial that you directed and produced. I want to hear more about it.
You want to hear more about
it? Yeah, like, let's transition the news segment into hearing more about the Awesome Con commercial for a little bit.
Well,
I do have some more news, but we can talk about it later.
Well, first of all, I can't do, as a filmmaker, and specifically as when I'm in directing mode and when I'm a director, I am nothing without the crew. Like, the people that I surround myself, I'm only as good as the people I surround myself, you know, with when it comes to directing films. And I think it really comes down to the, you know, this time, you know, I really wanted to have the people I really wanted to work with. And I think, you know, that we knocked it out of the park. And every piece of the puzzle I really enjoyed of the crew and even the client and making this Awesome Con commercial. So, you know, whether they admit it or not, this would not have happened without them, without each and every single one of the people in the crew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, so like to one, let that out there.
This one was like a fast turnaround for you, right? Like a week from shooting to air?
Yeah, it was an extremely fast turnaround. Of course, I mean, like when it comes to like in the grand scheme of things, we had a month, legit like a month. Like we just, like I had like, you know, I was actually at band practice when, you know, I was telling my bandmate about like the idea that I pitched to them. And I was like, I wonder if they're going to buy that because this is such a crazy idea. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent that text out to Awesome Con, like, oh, I'm going to pitch this. Let's see what happens. And then, of course, it was one of those moments where I'm like fearing of like, imagine if they say yes. So, you know, usually if you send, for me, if I send out like an idea that I want like to pitch to a client, you send like the crazy one and then the softer one, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So you just sent this one.
Yeah, at first I sent this one.
Yeah, because I'm a fan of doing that when working with clients. Like, sometimes I don't really have the opportunity to do it, but, like, I sometimes will just be like, here it is.
Yeah.
Here it is. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I love doing that because I think, like, especially if you really only have, like, one really good idea, just go with it. Just be like, this is it.
Yes.
This is your logo. No, but here's, here are the sketches. But these are the people.
It was interesting because, like, I sent that idea and then... they're like, that's great, we're gonna have, let's, you know, that's gonna, you know, they were like excited about it. They really liked the idea. And of course I at that point I was talking to my bandmate and I was like, oh, what did I just do? Because it was like, it was such a big, because last year's Awesome Con commercial just took place in one location. You mean it took place in one studio, one blank white studio. And
yeah.
I was like, that's plausible. You know what I mean?
You're like, it's just on white.
It's just on white. That's fine. I can totally do that. I can do anything. But, and then when I pitched this one, of course, in my head, I was like, we got to do something that's completely the opposite. You know, and I was like, well, what do you want? Like, I asked myself, Joe, what do you want? And I was like, of course, what does Joe want to do? He wants to end the world. So I was like, okay, last man existing in all the planet, like the last man on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of story. No one else around in the whole entire world, you know?
And that's, or so we think.
Yeah, and that, so like to me, that's the idea that I pitched them. I was like, imagine a guy waking up and realizing that he's the only one on the planet. You know what I mean? He's mm-hmm. the only one on the planet. And then the moment he breaks down and realizes that fact, he gets confronted by a creature, by a zombie. And then as soon as he turns around, he grabs a zombie in like an insane fury, and he says like, what's going on? Where's everyone? Who are you? The zombie talks, and zombies aren't supposed to talk. And then when the zombie does talk, he's just a guy. You know what I mean? And then he, so while the guy is just like, who are you? Where's everybody? The zombie talks like a normal human being, and then we realize he's not a zombie, it's a guy in cosplay. And then he's like, everyone's at Awesome Con. And then at that moment, the guy realizes, like he's like, what? Is he in, like, on some of this joke?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's not the end of the world. Everyone in the whole entire planet happens to just be at Awesome Con at that moment he wakes up at. And so that's what I pitched to Awesome Con. And they loved it. They liked it. You know, that, and I think that's great. Of course, as soon as I realized that, I was like, crap, now I got to do it. And
yeah.
Then one of the most difficult things in the world that to do at this, you know, we don't have $1 million. You know, we don't even have tens and thousands of dollars. It's
why
like,
not?
I don't know. But in my head, I'm like, you know, of course, of course, I'm like, let's get a studio lot. Let's get all this, that. And I was like, that's going to be, in my head, I was like, that's going to be difficult.
I'm going to need a trailer.
I'm a diva director. These are all those things. That has nothing to do with being a diva and directing and getting a trailer.
I'm just doing the Tiffany impersonation.
But, like, it's all those. Before we find out a budget, I'm always pitching to the roof. You know what I mean? If you have no budget, I'm always just like, this is what I want to do. You know what I mean? Because I guess in these situations, you don't really know. It's like, do you want to work in a budget? Do you want to imagine a world in a budget? Or do you want to imagine, do you imagine without a budget? And then find out what you can really do.
You just basically have to chip away at what you can do.
What I'm saying is that, when I'm pitching an idea, I don't want to have a budget in mind. Mm-hmm. You want to go back. For me, I'm like, you go big, and then when you find out what the budget is, then you see what the compromise. But you still got to have the spirit of what the original, the concept is.
I think you are very effective at maintaining a low budget. You can do a low budget, kind of like, Rodriguez style of filmmaking school. You know how to find things that are effective and don't cost an arm and a leg.
I mean, I hope. I try. I like to use up all the budget I have. that's the really. If I have this much, I'm gonna use it all. I'm not gonna be like, okay, use it all.
You know what though? It does show when people skimp on the budget.
Yeah.
So there's creative solutions. There are, but you can tell when things are truly low budget. But there is a way to make low budget stuff look great, and that's what I think the Awesome Con commercial looks great. And also, since it's the end of the world, you have some newspapers, which happen. I think, I don't know if people know about this, but the secret is that those are magic bullets. And that's pretty impressive. So, I like your little Easter eggs. You do have some Easter eggs going on.
Well, there's a lot of Easter eggs involved in this story.
Did you want to release them on our podcast?
Sure, I'll release whatever the hell I want. Well, see, the challenge of this is when, you pitch the idea, and of course, then weeks go by when it's just Awesome Con's figuring things out. So there wasn't really this was probably in November or October. Mm-hmm. When that idea came across and they loved it. Then we went our separate ways and did stuff like that. And then it comes to say mid-December when it's like, okay, now it's time to
start making the
commercial. I'm like, okay, so do you still want to do this idea of the commercial? But then at that time I was like, okay, if we can't pull it off, I pitch other ideas to them too.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, okay, if we can't pull that one off, we got to do this one. You know what I mean? Or let's do this one.
So
at the same time,
at that time, you gave them other options?
Yeah, I gave them other options. Mm-hmm. Because it was almost my out in the same way. Because I knew there's a lot. Because I was looking at this and I was like, I'm thinking of the movies like I Am Legend, where it's just like they had to bring back product. They had to delay production because they couldn't get open city streets and stuff like that. And of course, when we're talking about the end of the world or an absolutely empty world, there's things you gotta think about that really sell that. You know what I mean? And to me, I'm like, we gotta be able to block out, when we're talking about the creative process, they love the story, and so we stuck with that. But then once we start building on that story and visualizing it, the story is man goes through certain sections of the world, certain sections of this town that are empty. You know what I mean? So now my head is, where are we going to shoot this in this Maryland, D.C., Virginia area? Where is this desolate time that we can shoot that will have no one there? You know what I mean? And that's freaking a challenge. So, but when we're talking about the creative part of where we can do it, of course, Awesome Con's going to be like, we need to have it in front of the convention center when there's no one there. We need to get D.C. city streets. And I'm like, in my head, I'm not the director, writer. I'm the producer in my head, and I'm just like, where are we gonna get? There's no way we're gonna have a real budget to block off a whole entire, the whole entire opening of the convention center or these streets. It's just impossible in this budget.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's physically, it's not something. If we had the money, if we had motion picture, super motion picture money, yeah, I would be like, let's block off freaking the White House. You know what I mean? But we can't. So there's that creative process. Now we got to find these locations. You know what I mean? And it's the heartbreaking part of telling them that we can't get these get these locations, because that's our whole budget, is just to get that street.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this So that it's a constant breaking down process. I'm like, no, but this might work. No, but this might work. No, but this might work. And I'm just, you know, and I feel bad the whole time. But then I'm like, well, it's awesome. It's your idea, Joe. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
you got to live up to your pitch.
It's me like saying no to me, but then saying there's a compromise within myself. So I'm like internally battling myself and trying to make all these other elements.
But you know
happy.
What? I think the locations that were selected and your framing of the locations turned out to be really well, because maybe it was a good thing that you weren't like super literal to be like, oh, we're in DC and this is the convention center, you know?
Like, oh yeah. But like, if we could, I would have totally gone that. I mean, because we spent a day, me and my co-producer, Lauren Jaslow, we location scouted like all over Virginia and DC.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really interesting is because she thought, because at first we were going to use all these locations of the ones that we were allowed, like we already had, like, because Awesome Con has a relationship with Third Eye Comics, and I was like, hey, let's see if we can use them. And mm-hmm. let's, and then, you know, so we took a location scout to Maryland, to Annapolis, and to check out all these empty places that we could make empty and set dress. And, you know, just, and like, there's just certain things that just won't work out because of timing. It's like, well, we can only film over there at a certain time, and like, well, that only gives us an hour block, and then it's not really that empty because we don't have control. So all these other factors, like, there's so many factors in play.
Yeah.
Of just like, if we needed it to not be empty, we could have probably shot it. But since my idea was to make it like the end of like empty world,
you can't have like people walking to work.
You can't,
or like the metro buses coming by.
Well, I would love to have the ability to dress it.
Yeah, like you could dress it like the metro bus like falling on the floor.
Yeah,
and like all that.
Like,
and, like, it's desolate. And,
it's
like,
one of those
dust everywhere.
To me, it's one of those ideas where it's really all or nothing. You can't just half-ass it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but with their budget, it is like really hard to make that scenery.
It is.
on that budget.
It is. And it's, but also it's like, you know, it's the key of the creative solution of finding locations.
Yeah.
So like that whole day, you know, I was looking at that, and like every location I was looking at that Lauren was taking me to, I was like, it's not working. Because I was like, I wanted a bridge, I wanted an empty gas place, I want to empty this, that. And like, it just wasn't places where you can legit do that in this DMV area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just didn't happen. And so then we were driving on the way back, you know, back down 95. And then for some reason in my head, I was just like, what about, you know, what about National Harbor? Because I was like, that's like a city.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's see if there's people there. And then when we go, and, you know, we were already like, I don't know, it's it. But when we went there to National Harbor on that same, you know, that day, we go to National Harbor and it's like, now it's a city, but it was like empty. You know what I mean? There's like no one there, and it looks like down.
I mean, really,
it looks like DC and
it,
stuff like that. And like,
no,
I was just so surprised that when I was just there, that there was like just nothing, you know, like happening. And like, to me, that I was like, that, like at that moment, I was like, we gotta find a way to use this place, because like, where else are you gonna do this? And so when I saw that, that was like, then my mood started picking up. I was like, we can actually, because before that area, I was like, man, there's no way I can pull off this commercial. I was just like, this is just going to be a cop out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and I saw that, I was like, okay, there's a glimmer of hope. So we kept on looking at locations, and then we found, you know, and then just things started happening. We found locations, even like Falls Church. There's certain places that just like looked desolate if you shot a certain direction. But if we shot to the right, it's like a whole entire busy ass highway. But if you shoot to the left, then it's just like desolate destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, we just don't shoot that way. You know, so we were finding places like that, and I thought that was really what helped. It was like, just, you know, the creative solution. What was really another troubling thing is the fact of, you know, the way the timing is all blocked out is that it had to be, the commercial had to be done by a certain time. Yeah. But then again, we're running into weather. It's hard to shoot outdoors
oh,
in the
yeah.
weather.
I know you had to delay because
I had to constantly delay this because of potential snow. And, you know, they don't want to have snow in there. So you can't just have it, you know, you just can't shoot. You just can't do it. And then each time we would delay, we're getting closer and closer to the time it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really stressful thing.
You have one shot in particular where the actor is picking up the stuffed animal, Morgan, the dog. And there's like a puddle of water right in front of that shot.
Yeah.
And I think that's great because that's like the melted snow, but it's cool that like you have that reflection in the water.
Yeah.
In the water. Like, it just ended up like looking really cool that you had that little puddle there.
Yeah,
and it's like subtle stuff because, I mean, it's such a quick commercial. Like, the final one was 30 seconds and half of it was animation. So you only really got to tell a story in like whatever, like less than 20 seconds, and which is not much time at all. I think you told so much story within a limited time frame. I mean, you did post the extended cut on your site, but for the commercial, it's such a, it's so quick. And like, I don't know if people are gonna notice like the little puddle or, you know, like little things that I've noticed because I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're gonna notice it when it's not there.
Yeah.
So like, that was the one of the things when I was looking at the structure of the whole story and just the elements of it. When people look at even like, when I was telling Jessica how to, like, what would be cool to set dress for, like, the room, the opening room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first, she put up, like, a blanket, like, on the, like, a, what's it called? Not a blanket, but whatever the shade or whatever it is that hangs down on the window.
A curtain.
Like, a sort of, like, shaggy curtain. And I was looking at it, and I was like, okay, what, there's not really a story there. But then I was like, Jessica, put a piece of tape across it, and then it looked like, okay, someone tried to fix it. Like, there's little elements there that I felt like would make certain stories. So like, when in each one of the shots you get that, I mean, and that's what I liked. I was like, when Joey was like talking about the story, the main character who plays him is Joey Roseman, he was like, so what is the handcuffs about? Like, he wakes up and he's handcuffed, like he has a handcuff on his hand. And I flat out, I was like, you know, I was like, it could be something, but it is something for the bigger part of the story, where it all came from.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like all these elements, there's these Easter eggs that lead to things. And like, legit, like, Joey's character is a callback to the one shots that we did with him like a year ago. He's wearing the same outfit. He has a handcuff, the same handcuff he had to the case in the one shot, the first timer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. There's so many fun like retakes in there that I like. Even Tim, who plays the zombie, is in the magic trick. You know, so it's like he has the same look and everything like that. There's like all these callbacks that I like. Morgan from your comic strip is in there. It's another great callback. Like, there's like, I just felt like there's a great opportunity. You know, and even like the truck that's used in there. Like, whenever, like, Jessica, who did the set dressing, like, she has a truck, and I've always wanted to put the truck that she's had in a film and tell a story with it. And, like, that was definitely an opportunity to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, all these things that I'm like, might as well just, let's do this. Let's just throw it all in there as much as we can.
Yeah, I think it's great. And also, I think you did work around that location confusion, because something that I really like about you, not just beyond your position as a director and filmmaker and producer, but even just with other logistical stuff in life, stuff that I really like about you is that you're able to, like, maybe your first route, your plan A isn't working out, right? And I feel like you're able to envision that and be like, hey, you know, this isn't working out, and then you make a plan B. And then even while you're making a plan B, you already have like a plan C, a plan D, a plan E in your head. So that's like, I really admire you that you're able to work around different situations and kind of gauge how to get something done. Like, you will get something done even if it's like plan G, you know, or Z, you know, like you'll find a way to get what you need done. And I think that that's really cool.
Well, I think that's why it's also really important for me to have the people that I work with that are able to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the people that like that are on this crew, and I love working with them in all capacity, but they're able to also adjust. You know, the chemistry is there to be able to adjust in a fast situation without losing their heads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just part of being part of the circus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They have to know that, like, you can't, not everything is going to work out the way it's going to be planned. So that in a way, it's like this is just a soft plan, but I can change it at any second. And and a person can either lose their mind towards that, or they can be like, okay, let's go for it. Let's just go for it. You know what I mean?
Because
I feel like there's so many times where there's so many times I feel like where people, they waste time by losing their mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They waste time by like stressing on it. I mean, not saying that stress is not a part of the thing. Stress is like all of it. You know what I mean? But there's an absurdity to making movies and making films and making any project, that at least an absurdity that I see, that makes me not lose my mind. You know, when like, well, you know, when when shit has just you've just lost control of everything and you just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, I'm just, all I can do is just laugh.
That's how I deal with everything now.
I feel like personally, I'm already laughing. I'm already like, well, it's going to break anyway. This is why we've already made these plans. It's like, chill out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to break no matter what. Let's just keep going. You know, there's such an amazing absurdity to things that I find really entertaining, and that, like, you know, I like riding to the end, I guess.
Yeah. And
not saying it doesn't hurt, but it hurts. All of it hurts.
At this time, like, if you haven't watched the commercial, we should let people know that they can find it at astrayproductions.com.
Oh, no, you can find it at goastray.tumblr.com.
Okay, goastray.tumblr.com and check out the extended cut. But also, like, so have you heard back any feedback? Because it hasn't even been 24 hours yet since this aired, but I was just wondering if you've heard any feedback from people.
Yeah, I've heard positive feedback.
That's good.
So I mean, immediately after it aired, I got, like, at least, you know, I got several emails and likes about it, and I guess that's good. Then, of course, immediately my mind just shuts that away.
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes you do kind of have to blow it off, because, but then but at the same time, it is like a good rewarding feeling to be like, oh, cool, that person actually reached out to me, said they saw the commercial, and said they liked it.
Yeah,
you know?
I really enjoy that. I really like that part, but also, like, I'm still. Part of me is still, like, in reality,
yeah.
You know, and part of me is all, like, I feel like the idea that I was able to get the idea came across, and I was really happy that, like, there's no compromise in that, you know what I mean?
But that's the cool thing, like I said, it's only, like, less than 20 seconds, and you already know this whole story about this guy.
Yeah, that's what I really find enjoyable, so once that's there, you know, it's, now I just go into spy mode, like, it's, because this is how I feel about, like, you know, and I'm not saying people who give me compliments, I don't care. I really like that, and I really enjoy that. But, like, there's part of me that loves hearing the third party talk. Because I feel like sometimes that's, if you're able to spy on people and then see what they really feel, mm-hmm. then that's the honest reaction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At, like, what they would say behind your back. Now I'm in that mode. I'm just like, okay, what do they really
think?
Yeah,
like, not when they, like, tag you on Facebook. They're like,
yeah, because I tag everybody.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, just saw Joe's commercial. He's great. You know, like, yeah. So they're doing that because they want you to know that they're there.
And I just look at...
And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, like, but it's cool when you see somebody that you don't even know.
Yeah.
That's like, awesome con commercial was great.
The unique views, to me, at this point, is really important. Because that means you're growing. You're growing that. So it's like more people... You know, and that's why for me it was really important to have, like, on the online version that people can see, they can see the credits,
mm-hmm.
that there's credits, because, like, from this one alone, I was just like, dude, this really could not have been done without these people. Me, myself, could not have taken a camera by myself and shot this commercial. That's what I'm saying. I needed every bit of that. I needed Brian, I needed Jake, I needed Joey, I needed Troy, I needed Jessica, Chad, Maya, you know, I needed Elaine, I needed Ulysses. You know what I mean? I need Paul. I need the other Jess. You know, Ben. Ben just did that.
Well, he's still coordinated.
But yeah.
Coordinated.
What did he coordinate? No,
I don't know.
He coordinated me, and I put it all together.
What are you talking about? He probably coordinated with the cable companies and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's that side. He's so that side.
That's
without any, there would be none of this if it wasn't for Ben. That's what I'm
saying. That's all work.
Without Ben, there would be none of this. But also, like, I've always, you know.
But I will say, filmmaking is, like, from what I see, everything that you do, filmmaking is like a team sport.
It's a war. It's a
team war.
It's an army.
An army.
A military force. That's how I look at it. That's how I've always looked at it. Always, every single time. But legit, it's like, there are so many elements in this film that could not have been done with just me. That's
what
I'm saying.
And what was the temperature when you were filming outside?
It was fucking freezing as fuck. It was all the elements that I did not like. Cold and wind and being on the gun. You know what I mean? Every single shot involved every bit of the crew, like, from all the elements, like all the magic bullets. We use magic bullets to have all the paper, all the newspaper that's there. And I wanted the world littered with this paper. I swear to you, I wanted that. So, and that needed three people, like Jessica, Maya, and Chad. They all were coordinating the paper moving in coordination with the wind. So, like, we would be in camera position, and then I would check out and be like, okay, I feel a wind is coming. All right, action. Here comes the wind. Throw. It would be legit like that. All right, Dolly
like,
in, throw.
Production value, wind.
No, that was what I was doing. I was texting Brian in the making of this, like, before that. I was like, production value. I was like, this is all this production value.
You're
the
like,
whole
we
time.
Don't even need fans. We got wind.
You got wind.
Natural wind.
I was like, I hate wind. Even in the beginning of that, right when Brian and I first got out of our cars and we did our first meetup, you know, first we always do that. You make sure everything's checked. Pretty much it's me and Brian running the set, you know. And Brian was like, I just had my hair like in work mode, so it was like up and like whatever pompadour style. And he was like, Joe, it's cold. I was like, I know it's cold and windy.
I always wonder why you style your hair when you're going to be out all day in the cold.
So it doesn't get in my face.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that's legit.
Oh, and
legit
also Joe, the other Joey helped you too.
So
did you mention him?
Yeah, it's Joey.
Oh, okay.
So then, yeah, like Joey and Troy, the cast. And of course, not can't do it without them. But like, yeah, so, you know, there was actually a legit debate. Brian and I were right next to my car, and I was like, oh, it's cold, man. It's like, put on the hat that you tweeted, that you Instagram that you have. I was like, I don't want to, man. I just did my hair. He's like, it's going to be cold. I was like, oh, damn it. All right, I put on my hat. And I'd wear the hat. So all the behind the scenes has me with that red hat. And though I told Lauren I was going to wear that hat. That was a heartbreaker that Lauren couldn't make that. She wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, she did so much pre-planning.
Lauren was really...
She injected what she needed.
Yeah, Lauren was really important to this. And that's why I gave her thanks first. Is because she was like, she's my co-producer. So we put this thing together. She was a person I bounced off things and bounced off logic to. And I think that's really important for me to have. It's, you know, it's like, it's... She's not my crutch, but she was in a way like a co-partner in doing this. And it just sucked that like we had to move back and she wouldn't have been able to be there that day. But like, you know, you gotta train, keep train moves on. That just
filmmaking world.
That just means I had to do three jobs now on the set.
Don't make her feel bad. But Lauren, if you're listening, you contributed, so that's amazing.
Yeah, but
I mean, I'm sure she felt bad for missing out too.
It was cool because I liked having to work with all these elements. You know what I mean? Like, the set dressing was really important. You know what I mean? That's why I chose Jessica to do that, because she herself, like, already had, like, all this junk that she was like, we can just use this stuff. You know what I mean? I was like, that's a great idea. Let's use it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to go out and search. You just have it, and let's put it together and make it use. And we can design a shot. Because that each shot is designed. It's the image itself has to tell its story.
So. I think it's really good. I think, like, just in a few seconds, it proves that you can tell a story. And I think that that's amazing. I can't wait to, like, watch more of your films, because I feel like you're only growing more and more. So
it's I feel like
one shots, you know, is gonna be great in the future. I know you have some stuff up your sleeve. You don't have to talk about it now, but I always jinx it.
That's what happens.
You don't have to.
But that's what happens is like whenever I talk about things ahead of time, that's why I don't like posting like how like a lot of people post like, this is what's going to happen today. We're going to get this done. Like if you notice, I never do that anymore. I don't want to do that because I will fuck it up and I'll jinx it so bad.
They're like, today is such a busy day. First I have to go to the gym. Then I have to eat this smoothie, and then like I'm going to work, and then
what a busy day ahead of me.
And then I'm like, dude, you haven't even done any of that yet.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cool that you have like an agenda, but then I'm like, just keep it to yourself. I don't need to hear about it.
And like to me, in a way, it's like if you see someone posting like that too, they could flat out be lying. There's no proof they're gonna do any of that unless they're gonna post every single bit of the day.
Well, I don't want them to do that.
But also, after the fact, I never really see them post anything about that day. They're like, this is what I'm going to do. They never post why it's important or anything like that. So now I just want to... Once it's done, I post.
Yeah, I always post when it's done.
You know what I mean?
I've never... Well, sometimes I've done a couple process shots, but that's more just for people that like process. But I don't know. I'm not a fan of listing out your day like that either.
But it also just... To me, it seems very selfish.
But Joe,
it's like my day is important in your day. You know what I mean?
Just gonna straight up say, like, I'm just looking forward to what you're gonna create in the future.
I'm looking forward to what I'm
creating.
Because
I feel like
this
Awesome Con commercial, because this is the first thing that you've made in 2015, like filmmaking wise.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like that's a good opener for your year. You know, and we're still early into the year. We're only in the beginning of the second month, which feels like it's floating by like crazy already. It's almost gonna be Valentine's Day this Saturday. So, and speaking of love, I have something to say that I've been meaning to say.
To who? To me? Are you going to ask me out on a date for the first time in 5 years?
Unfortunately, no.
Ugh, no girls love me.
Well, anyway, what I was going to say.
Anyway, Joe, forget your romantic life, your pathetic life.
Forget about you.
I can't even get chicks. I'm in a band.
You have a picture of yourself with some hot chicks.
Yeah, I have a hot picture of me and some hot chicks.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's hot.
Well, you know,
go look it up on my Instagram, Stray J.
What I'm interested in talking about, speaking of love, is I wanted to talk about this in the beginning of the year, but we did, like, the Charlie tribute was our first episode of those slain cartoonists over in France. That was our first episode of 2015, the first big news story of 2015. But for me personally, I have another big news story that, you know, segmenting in from talking about the Awesome Con commercial, and, you know, I said I had another big news thing that I've been wanting to talk about. And it makes me so happy because it's love. And I just have to say, congratulations, Benji Madden and Cameron Diaz, for getting married.
That's the announcement?
Yeah, because you know what? Friggin' Benji is awesome. Benji, like, I don't really want to pick favorites, but I've always had a fondness for him in Good Charlotte, you know? Like, I'm not in love with any of the guys in Good Charlotte. I just love the band. Like, I really am truly not, I really am a huge fan of Good Charlotte, but I'm not, like, the type that's like, oh, I love Benji and Joel. I love them all. I love Paul. I love Billy. I'm not, like, that type, okay? I love the music, and I love Good Charlotte. I'm like a fan of Good Charlotte, okay? But then when I think about Benji, like, I really am like, oh, Benji. Like, I love saying his name. I love, like, the name Benji. And I really do. I, like, love... And then, like, he was the one that had, like, pink hair in the very beginning. He had, like, a little streak of pink hair. And I was like, oh, Benji, you know? Like, I don't know. I just really like Benji. And since he's, like, the underdog... Because I always feel like Joel gets a lot of attention. He's, like, the lead singer. And, like, from what I've heard when they're in school, like, Joel never really tried. And he always got better grades. And, like, Benji was always, like, trying really hard. And he never advanced as much as Joel did. So I always feel like a connection to Benji, I guess, because it just seems like he's the underdog of Good Charlotte. And, like, anyway, I'm just, like, really a big fan of Benji. And, like, he's not really a tall type of guy. He's not really a type of guy that when you first look at him, you're like, damn, he's so handsome. You know, he's not really, like a Hollywood, like, elite, like, George Clooney, good-looking type dude, like, a fully... Yeah. You know, he's kind of, like, he is good-looking, but he's, like, he's the type that's, like, you have to look at him, like, two or three times, and then you're like, okay, I get this, what he's about. You know, like... like he has tattoos, and he's, like... He
Who doesn't have tattoos?
Well, he has a lot of tattoos, and he has, like, neck tattoos. He has, like, a couple of small stars, like, under his eye. You know, like, he has, like... Like, they're really small, the stars. It's, like, a freckle. But, like, he just, you know, he is his own personality, and he does, like, I guess he does some MMA or some type of boxing. I don't really know, like, super much about his personal life, but, like, I know that he is who he is, and he's, like, very genuine, and that's why I really like Benji. And it just makes me happy to see him happy and see him married. And, like, there's a picture that was circulating online of, like, Benji and Joel with Cameron, I guess, when she was touring with, she used to date Justin Timberlake, and I guess Justin Timberlake toured with Good Charlotte for a while. But it's a picture of, like, Benji, Joel, and Cameron hanging out, and, like, Benji has his, like, head on her shoulder. And they're just, like, hanging out, but they look, like, cool. And I'm like, oh my god, that's so cute, because that was probably from, like, over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, now they're married. I don't know, like, I just think it's cute, and I don't mind Cameron Diaz. Like, I like her, you know, I haven't seen all of her movies, but she's, like, in Charlie's Angels, and... She seems like a fun chick, you know, and I would probably hang out with her. She seems like fun, and I feel like Benji and Cameron are, like, a pretty awesome couple. And I know everything happened fast, it seems, like they, I don't think they dated for even, like, a full year, but...
Do they need to date if they're already friends?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that all works.
I don't even know how dating works.
I don't know how it works either. I guess people, like, look at their picture and then, like, swipe it or not. Yeah. And then, like, they're like, I don't know if I want to. Like, it's, you know, whatever. That's a whole nother thing. But, like, you know, I just feel like also Cameron has dated, like, so many guys. That's the crazy thing about both their relationships.
That's
like,
what I found
Benji
really,
has dated so many
that's
girls,
That's what I found
too.
Surprising. You know, it's just like, she ends up marrying Benji, but it's like she's gone out with, what's his face, Leonardo at one point.
Oh, really?
What's the
DiCaprio.
List? What's the list of there? I don't know, but it seems like she's gone out with some A-list people.
A-Rod.
You know?
The baseball player. And, like, a couple other, like, yeah, she's gone out with, like, and not to compare
Benji.
But
you got to remember, this is marriage in the celebrity world, too. I'm always thinking
like
about
dating.
That is the first date.
But, like,
prenup.
The thing is, though, is, like, they've both dated heavy hitters. Like, Benji has dated... Like, Paris Hilton.
Heavy hitters.
Yes, I mean, like, dude, Paris Hilton, like, at the height of her career. Like, one of the, you know, like, she was with Benji and, like Benji was also with like Sophie Monk, and she's like an actress model. Benji was with a couple other people too. You know, like in a way, like they're kind of even on the dating playing field. You know, they both dated at like several good-looking people.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to compare Benji with like A-Rod or something, but you know, there's like you can like match him up with another dude and be like, oh yeah, well you can see the difference of like the born happiness, you know, the born not happiness, the born like sexiness of the other guy is like, oh, they're sexy, but like Benji,
wait,
like A-Rod or something. I don't really know. I'm not really attracted. I don't even know what he looks like.
Because
he's in shape. He dated Madonna for a while. He dated like heavy hitters too.
But see, it's funny about when people are like, oh, that person's in shape, that makes him attractive and stuff like that. He plays a sport. And back in my head, I'm just like, well, you know, if a single person can focus and get themselves in shape, they can do that too.
Hell,
or if they really
can.
Want to do that, they can. If they really want to play a sport, oh, they can do that as well. Those are things. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think.
But like, what else do they bring to the table besides?
I don't know anything about his personality. I'm just saying that like she has dated good-looking men.
Okay.
That's all I'm getting at. And I'm not saying that Benji isn't good-looking, but I'm just saying again with his personality, he's like. He is like a Daniel Bryan. He's a B+. You know, like
B plus player.
He's a B+ player, and like, and I like mean this with like all right, with all my love
athlete,
for Benji.
Sports athlete versus rock star.
Rock star, you know my type of personality.
But like in the world of things, you know, that's usually
yeah,
what the top two
else,
guys. Right?
Everyone else would probably choose like a basketball player. Or
would
some
they really?
Player. Yes, I think so. Those are like the
I just
top
feel
targets.
Like they'd be so dull.
Hey, you know what? A lot of people say that about musicians, though.
How so?
They're like, oh, you know, oh.
Everyone always wants to be a rock star.
They
That's
do,
like
but
the thing.
A lot of people say that sometimes musicians don't have a personality. But I think Benji has like a super personality.
I've never heard that they think rock stars have no personality.
It depends. I guess it depends on who the rock star is. You
because
know?
I know like people are like party like a rock star. They don't say party like an athlete.
Well, I'm sure athletes actually party harder than rock stars.
I don't know about
that.
Have
you been to the Olympic Village?
No, I haven't.
I've heard some crazy parties
not,
going on.
I have not been there, actually.
There's some crazy parties going on.
I've not been
there.
To any Olympics.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like they're both, like, coveted.
Yeah, but see, like, you have the
want.
You have the Olympic Village, but then that's, like, the normal rock star tour wherever they go, I guess.
I guess
some of them,
I'm
though.
Just basically saying that, like, I really love Benji, but, like... You look at him compared to some of these other guys and you have to say like, oh, he's shorter. You know, I know with guys, like shorter guys, like don't get as much prominence and like,
but they're usually rock stars or musicians are
shorter. Yeah. I mean, like a lot of the guys I like are really short. So, you know, I don't know what to say about that. But anyway, I'm just saying like, I mean this with lots of love is that like Benji is awesome. But like, then I'll read the comments online and then people are like, oh man, she's never been married. No wonder why she's finally marrying Benji. You know, like, there must be something wrong with her. Like, because they say, like, all these guys, like, dumped her. There must be something wrong with Cameron.
Is that how it was? Each one of them dumped her?
That's what online says, but...
That's what online says. Mr.
Or I
online.
Guess she was, like, also dating, like...
Mr. Online.
Dylan.
I'd like to...
What's his name? Something
I'd like
Dylan.
I would love to create a character named Online.
Matt Dylan?
Onlin. We'll call him Onlin. How do you spell online real quick?
Online.
Mr. Online will be the person that's always negative.
Yeah, like, so Mr. Online is like, oh, it must be something wrong with Cameron Diaz. Like, everyone knows that Justin Timberlake broke up with
Everybody
her.
Knows. And usually that Mr. Online...
And in my head, I'm like, I never knew that,
it's
but
funny,
whatever.
It's
How
funny
do you know?
It's funny because, like, really that's all it takes is that this one person leaving a comment and then everyone just assumes that's what... It's the truth.
Yeah.
But well, it's not the truth.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is that Cameron Diaz is... What is she now? 42?
I have no idea.
But the thing is like, honestly, Benji could have... And Benji's, I think, 35,
really?
Maybe. And she's, like, 42 or 43. I think 42. But Benji, you know, like, if you think about how guys act, Benji could have been with, like, a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
And just married some hot, young chick model.
Any 20s model or whatever,
yeah.
They could do whatever the fuck.
But then, like, you know, he did choose to be with Cameron Diaz, who is 42, and who is, like, 7 years older than him.
I mean,
you know?
I feel like after a point...
I think that's a big deal, but...
After a point, the age really doesn't matter. That chemistry must be there.
No, definitely. But I do think, like, you know, if you look at it from, like, a really vain point of view, you could be like, oh, he could just be with, like, some hot chick. You know, like, some young hot chick,
some
you know?
Some young hot... Now
but,
just
but now,
an
like,
older hot chick.
But if you think about it, Cameron Diaz is an older hot chick, but she still looks like she can go to bat with, like, a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I will say, you know, a few years goes by, like, let's say 7 years goes by, and she's pushing 50. You know, yeah. Like, and that's when, like, you know, I'm assuming she is going to look still beautiful, but I'm just saying, like, mathematically, it's like she's, in a way, closer to 50 than, like, Benji could have easily got, like, but a 20-year-old.
She did just come out with that book.
The body book?
Yeah, so she's working on it.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely knows how to take care of herself.
Yeah.
So she's going to be well-preserved, you know? I mean, I think it's awesome. She looks great for 41. She looks great for any age, you know? Like, I'm not trying to dismiss her age, but it is, like, looking at it from, like, a vain Hollywood point of view, like, Benji could have gotten a younger girl, yeah. You know? And I'm just saying it's awesome. But I just think they're a great couple, you know? I'm not trying to dismiss her age or anything, but I think it's great, and I think, like, freaking Judd Apatow was at their wedding, so, like, I know he was there because Leslie Mann acted with Cameron in, like, a recent movie that came out last year. What was it, The Other Woman?
Yeah.
So, like, that must have been the connection for that invite. But I'm like, damn, that means that, like, if you think about it, Benji is, like, a step into the Apatow circle. And I'm like, and as everyone knows, that's where I want to be, the Apatow circle. You know, it's, like, a good place
that's,
to be.
That's our goal. Why don't we just merge circles?
Yeah, I mean, we need to somehow find a way. I mean,
you can ask Jimmy Palmiotti.
Yeah, Jimmy Palmiotti.
He's a step into the circle, right?
I'm like,
because he has the Jay Baruchel
connection. I'm a couple steps away, you know. I mean, Judd Apatow might not know who I am, but I am a couple steps away.
Just tell him to check out the Washington, the White House stuff.
Oh, you know what I should? I should actually just do that. And do you know what else? Connection. Leslie Mann actually did hashtag get covered. Because they had a celebrity things where they hold up a sign that said hashtag get covered.
Yeah.
And Leslie Mann did that.
Well, there you go. Hook it up.
Dude, Judd Apatow.
Hash it up.
I'm going to hash up Judd Apatow. And I'm going to be like, dude, check out my art.
Dude, check out my art. You're getting Adele.
I did for the White House. You know, like, seriously, like, I'm really excited about that. I needed to make some type of connection with Judd Apatow. But I will say, Paul Feig has seen my art.
He's met you, so.
He has actually met me. He probably won't remember that. This was, like, long before the days of Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
But I just want to say congratulations to Benji and Cameron. Because seriously, they make me so happy. They're, like, my favorite celebrity couple. And it's something that, like, just me personally, I needed a celebrity couple. Because I haven't had a celebrity couple in, like, forever. Since Carmen Electra.
Dave Navarro and Cameron Diaz.
No. I meant to say, I was getting mixed up with the C's. A little bit dyslexic there. I'm just saying, since Dave Navarro and Carmen Electra. Okay.
So many C's.
No, seriously, I'm getting, it's starting out the same way. Since Carmen Electra and Dave Navarro, like, I haven't really had a celebrity couple. So now I'm, like, super excited about Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden. And Benji Madden and, like, also the Madden Brothers music, that new CD makes me really happy.
And that's the only thing that really matters.
Yeah, my happiness.
I mean, it is. It's because it's the only one that, it's the only thing that you need.
Yeah, it is. And I'm excited. And I feel good about, like, the start of this year so far, Joe. I don't know about you, but the Awesome Con commercial I thought was really awesome.
I had a good concert. Do you think I have a good concert?
Yeah,
January 30th.
You played live.
That was 2 days after I shot the commercial.
Yeah. You played live, and, like, my White House stuff is doing really well, and, like, freaking Michelle Obama, like, Instagrammed, like, the first lady Instagrammed my comic, and over 16,000 people liked it, less than 24 hours.
That's the good sauce right there.
I mean,
that's a good burrito.
That's pretty tasty.
It's a tasty burrito.
And I have to thank the White House for all this stuff, because it's pretty amazing. And also, Mike Kavna wrote an article in the Washington Post.
Mike Kavna's an awesome guy, too.
I know. He's amazing. I love his hat. It's just been a good year so far. I feel like I've had the most creative art energy, because I feel like it's paying off now. You know, like, I feel like we've went through years and years and years of creating, and, you know, we've had good stuff along the way, but now it's, like, at a higher level, you know? Like, Awesome Con is, like, a regional commercial, and, like, the White House is, like, an international takeover.
So I guess I should get my next film ready then, huh?
I think so. And we have, like, a lot of cool projects up our sleeves, everybody. You know, We're looking forward to making everybody smile, making everybody happy. Like, seriously, I wish that, like, as happy as Benji and Cameron make me, I want to make as happy everyone else.
It's a good deal. That is the good burrito,
like,
right there.
I want to make people happy. That's, like, one of my main life goals. And I think it's a great goal to have.
I think so.
Because if I'm happy, then everyone else is happy. That's how the way the world works.
Is it? Sometimes you're like, why are they so happy?
I don't know. Well,
what are you smiling about?
I can smile all day long.
What are you smiling about?
Look at me smiling. You can hear it in my voice. I'm smiling. Oh, yeah.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. What were you going to say? Was it, if I'm happy, I want to make other people. What do you want to end the line with?
If I'm happy, you're happy.
All we want to do is make you guys happy. Make you smile. No more sad fish. Happy fish. Even though I do like sad fish.
There will always be sad fish.
There will always be sad fish.
But they make you happy.
But they make you happy.
That's the gimmick.
That's
there.
The end right there. There will always be sad fish, but they make you happy.
That's right.
This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work at Go... What? No. Start over. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. Also, check out One-Shots Films, one-shots.com. Also, check out my band with Jessica at mickeyandmallory.com. We got some shows coming up. Or if you want us to play with someone, hook that up too. Check out that new commercial, the Awesome Con commercial on the Go Astray website. I gave you that Tumblr. Carolyn, what do you got?
I want you to announce for me, because you're really good at it.
Okay. Don't forget to check out Karen Bolevsky's work at Curls Studios website at curls-studio.com. Put a slash at that and add Curls. Check out her comic strip every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Every single day, just check for it. You never know.
It might appear.
You never know. Also, she has a website, karenbolevsky.com. There's probably links everywhere. Then again, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other, or else I'm going to get you. See you, Carolyn.
Coming to get ya. I'm the boogeyman.